wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the
rain. Why are you hosting the chat this week? You've never hosted a chat before. What made you decide to come out and be the moderator of an Okla Ed chat?
Well, I don't know. I enjoy trying new things. My comfort zone is a place that I hate. And, you know, here lately, I've been trying to step outside of that comfort zone. And this is it's that kind of experience. I mean, I've never done anything like this. I enjoy obviously leading things. I think that any teacher will tell you that they enjoy leading things. They enjoy being in charge. And I think if they told you they didn't, they'd probably be lying to you. And I don't know. It's outside my comfort zone, and that's why I'm doing it.
That's beautiful. How long have you been participating in Okla Ed Chats?
This will be probably my seventh or eighth chat. I'd have to go back and check Twitter.
Oh, wow, great. You
know, perfectly sure. But I'm a rookie for the most part.
I love that you've just kind of gotten in here and taken the bull by the horns, and you're like, hey, I love this, and I'm going to be a part of it now.
That's right.
All right. Now, you're an ELA teacher. Where do you teach?
I teach at OK Public Schools. It's a small town, OK, Oklahoma. We've got about 500 people in the town. We've got about 350 to 400 in enrollment. Very, very small. And that's, whenever I say 350 to 400, I mean the K through 12, the entire school.
And what grades do you teach?
So I teach 7th, 8th, and 9th English. And then I am the yearbook advisor, and I teach creative writing as well.
Wow, great. All right, so what is the name of this chat, and why did you decide to do this chat?
It is how to help students acquire real-life, in quotation mark, ELA skills. And the reason why I decided to do the chat is because I'm a big proponent of making sure that a kid can send an email. That's a big thing to me. Just send their boss an email. Whenever they leave school, when they leave my high school, we're a rural school. Not a huge percentage of our kids are going to go to college. Instead, they're going to enter the workforce. And I have been the recipient of so many emails, and I'm sure you have as well, that you look at them and you just cringe. They've got the wrong there. They've got the wrong one, even. I mean, you know, all those homophones are mixed up. The spelling is atrocious. And you just look at them and you go, God, I almost feel sorry for this person. You know, part of you wants to laugh, but part of you wants to find their high school English teacher and shake them until, you know, why didn't you get this through their heads? Well, I said this in my blog today, if a kid gets through my class, and he doesn't know what a gerund is, but he knows how to send a work email with the right homophones, then I feel like I've done my job. Because to tell you the truth, I've never needed to know what a gerund is until I started teaching English. Or a split infinitive. You know, I worked at several jobs before I became a teacher, before I got my degree, worked as a teacher, and no one at any of those jobs has ever said, Travis, can you identify the split infinitive here? No one. I want the real world application. I want these kids to get out into the workforce and represent my school and me, because they represent both of us very well and in an effective manner.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Travis. I can't wait to see how the chat goes. And thank you again for taking the time to talk to me this week.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Welcome back to Okla Said. I and Scott Hazelwood here are going through the tweets from Sunday night's Twitter chat hosted by Travis Sloat at TStyle77, where we were talking about how to help students succeed with real-life ELA skills.
Those real-life ELA skills, turns out, sort of important situation.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, really, I was thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to have a whole lot to contribute here. I do teach ELA, but real life. And then when everybody started tweeting, I got the momentum and it started going and things were good. There's a lot of real life to ELA.
And I thought last night, especially, thank goodness for it, our ELA Okla Ed superstars all shined brightly, which is good for the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it was because of the hour ahead, you know, we sprung forward this week, or if it was because of spring break, but it felt like there weren't as many people involved in the chat. However, it did not diminish the chat quality at all, because those people were so passionate about their craft.
Yeah, I agree. I think spring break sometimes is tricky, but the fact that we still had a chat and that it was active, and I wasn't trying to disparage other teachers, by the way, by making my comment about ELA people. It's just that this is where they have spent their life. They have a lot to share with us. Hello there. I heard a puppy.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dig in.
Hey, let's do. So, tweet number one was introduce yourself and just talk about a time that you have you ever gotten a work email with spelling or grammar mistakes, and how did you react? And I personally missed out on the chat last night. I had hashtag dad duties going on, but I went through and read back through all the tweets, and I got to tell you, some of my Okla Ed friends make me very afraid to send an email to.
Yeah, I heard that. There are a few people that I'm going to call or send a video request to for sure. You know, whenever I get an email with a spelling mistake or a grammar mistake, I typically like, you know, giggle, but I just go back over it. It doesn't bother me much. I do find grammar mistakes in other people's work. However, in my own, it's like I am spell proof and grammar proof idiot.
That's funny. I myself have noticed a typo or two in the old emails, and forget about it on Twitter. It's for like, forget about it. The grammar police are going to have a field day with me. By the, for the record, we had 84 participants and 506 tweets last night. So
thank you for that information right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I did love what Mr. Josh Flores had to say. He said, I just own it, and then quickly start digging for dirt on the person who doesn't let me live it down.
I think that's hilarious, because he's probably partially serious and partially joking. So you have to wonder, you know, which way is he going with that, you know, right?
Right, right.
I really liked Kevin Heim at Coach 57. He's a superintendent, and he said, easy now, I may have been the one who sent that email. Because... You know, like if you and I were to trade emails, we would not be too upset about a typo or grammar error. But if it comes from the boss, we expect it to be perfect.
Well, we do. However, I'm going to have mercy.
Yeah, I try to do that too. I also like Mrs. Cersei 112. Laura Cersei, she is also an English language arts lady. She said the surest way to find a typo is to hit send, and Twitter is the worst. And I think I agree with both of those statements.
No, I totally agree. There have been many times when I've been typing away at my podcast. I think I've read through it. And then sure enough, I'll hit publish and five mistakes pop out at me. And I'm always trying to go back and edit before too many people read it, like my mom and grandma. Thank you, mom and grandma, for reading my tweet, my podcast.
Yeah. You want mom and grandma to be proud.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what ELA skills do you find yourself using the most at your jobs?
Well, again, so this would be my answer from last night. I don't know exactly what ELA skills would be classified as, but I have to type a lot as I'm working on my dissertation. I also type a lot when I share information with faculty in my new position. And I also have to communicate in a way that delivers an idea or instructions through YouTube videos. So I try and do all that while at the same time as listening to the needs of those I'm working with as well. So I feel like I work on a lot of those skills.
That's an excellent answer. I too have to send a lot of emails. I write up professional developments regularly and just everyday communication. But really, I am the worst
at written communication. Not only do I have typos and, you know, grammar mistakes, but I do appreciate Grammarly. I don't know if anybody uses that little extension. I use the mess out of it. But I sound like a real, do we say our expletives? Are you beeping us out?
No, don't. Please don't use potty language. Okay. Practice your ELA skills and find an alternative word.
I sound like a real meanie.
Oh.
Whenever I have written communication. I think I just come across as blunt. I'm not a person that likes to mince words. I just get to the point. And I think teachers are used to that sandwich approach. You know, we learn how to sandwich bad information or, you know, hey, how's your day going? You sucked at what you did, but have a good night, you know, have a great rest of your day. I'm not a sandwicher. I just get to the point, and I think I come across as really rough sometimes. I did like what Mrs. Searcy said about I'll have to make sure my emails say sent from iPhone. And I'll be honest, Scott, I have done that even through my signature on my email just because I'm so bad at ruining the English language.
Cheating. That's what that is. That's called cheating.
I am a cheater. Yes, I am.
I really liked Amber McMath here, whose last name I really enjoy. But her Twitter handle is at Mrs. McReading, which is also clever. But she said, less skills, more mindset, that words are powerful. And I control my words. And I think that's something for all of us to try to remember, that we do control our words and we need to learn how to use them the right way.
No, I agree. I am working on this. I have told you before, my husband's the best at picking the perfect word for the perfect situation. I am the worst about picking the perfect word for the perfect situation.
We all have our skills, right?
I don't know what mine are yet, so.
Well, maybe this next question will help you out. What ELA skills do you think our students need to learn before they graduate?
Oh, sheesh. I mean, they need to learn how to speak in a conversation. They need to learn how to have written communication skills. Whether they're going to college or going straight into the workforce, if they have a promotion they want to put in for, you know, they've got to be able to make their resume look good. They've got to be able to send a professional email saying that they're interested in this without looking like a big goof.
You know, that plays right into one of the tweets that I got from this from Kelly Angeli. She's at Kelly Angeli. Her response was, all of them. They need to know how to be consumers of information and how to share it with others. And then at Jack Reed, who is at JL Reed 2011, he said, our students need to learn how to analyze information, form opinions, then communicate effectively written and spoken forms. So I think
hashtag
we're all...
Hashtag totes.
Yeah, totes me goats.
I really liked what Valerie Farrow had to say about this. Reading for understanding, writing for others to understand, speaking for others to understand. And that's really it. If we do not know how to write or speak effectively, oh, there's the word, then we do not look educated, and we must look, or, you know, come across as ready for whatever we're looking to get into.
Yeah, I agree.
Scott, how are you helping teach those skills to your students while staying inside your subject area?
This is a good question. So my response would be, in my calculus class, I had a kid blog set up for my students, and we took about 4 times one semester to do some writing on specific things. This is also one place, I think, where non-ELA folks are like, enough with the reading strategies, enough with the language strategies.
Right.
Like, I feel their pain, but also... In a lot of ways, maths and sciences, although different from English language arts, those are still languages. So being able to read, to understand, to interpret, to analyze, and to respond, those are all key things. Again, with at Josh, Mr. Josh Flores, our State Department English Language Arts guru, he said, I started focusing more on skills rather than the canon of literature, which is tough. We heart our default novels to a fault.
Totally agree. I mean, how many times were we forced to read maybe a teacher's heart novel, you know, and we hated it in high school. I feel like as an adult, I have reread some of those and have really found appreciation in them, or I appreciate them. But then I've fallen into the same making kids read novels. And I think he's right. Going with the skills versus the literature might help, you know, in that. I really liked what DJ Thorensen had to say, encouraging students to read and write frequently, trying to make a connection to their futures and having high expectations that they can reach. I mean, if we aren't using it, we're losing it, right? How many times have you said that in math?
Pretty much every day that I taught math, I said something like that.
I feel like with the ELA skills, it's probably the same way. I mean, if we aren't reading and writing regularly, then we are not staying on top of it with ourselves or with our students.
I think you get good at what you practice. And that may not be the best grammar, but whatever it is that you're constantly working on is something that you're going to improve over time.
Oh my gosh, do you think that people listening are totally judging us right now on our grammar?
All four of them, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to start speaking a little more clearly.
I shall use my professorial tonnage to offset
You're making up so many words.
So how will you effectively demonstrate those skills, Erin?
Gosh, I mean, using them regularly. My students blog here. That was one of the new things that we started this year. Instead of writing journals, they are journaling through blogs, which has been great. You give them an idea and they go to town with it. And I'll share it out on the Twitters. So they really like it whenever I share a particularly good one of theirs because they can see that, you know, several people have read it. But then I also encourage my students to do the presenting at times, not just their own presentations on, you know, stuff that they had to research, but even taking over the lesson and teaching it to the group. Because sometimes, you know, I might not say it in the best way and another student has a better way to reiterate, and then letting them work on their presentation skills and lead that teaching is some of the things I'm doing to try to develop those ELA skills.
Those are awesome. Shanna Mellett, who at Ellis Mellett, she had an answer I loved. She said, I created some videos about grammar that I will critique for my students, then they will critique their own speeches. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of those videos. Maybe at Ellis Mellett can, and I feel like I should, I feel like she's Merlot a little bit. Merlot,
you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let us know, Shanna. But I really liked what Turner Joshua D had to say. I attempt to demonstrate proper conversational skills at all times. And that one really, I need to learn from that one. I am pretty bad about cutting people off in the middle of their sentences because I've got...
Oh, hey, Erin, you know that one time?
I knew you were going to do that. But I've just got so much I have to say and I feel like blurting it out all the time. And even if I haven't let Scott finish his thought, you know, I'm cutting people off and I need to practice the reciprocating portion of that conversational skill.
Listening is critical. And although you may not be able to tell through the podcast, for the most part, Erin and I let each other share. When we're together in real life, it's difficult to complete a whole sentence because we interrupt with another great idea off of the brilliant idea we just heard. So
it tends to lead us down these rabbit holes of just exploration. But then we will sometimes come back and say, wait, how did we get on that conversation? Where did we start with this? And we have to backtrack to get back to our original thoughts.
Which is all well and good.
Yes. So question, Scott, do you use writing as a punishment? Essays, sentences, words, lines, etc.?
I have participated in this once upon a time, but I'm pretty much going to go with what Trey Kirkpatrick at WDTK33 said. No, moving on.
Bam, that's it. You know what? Last night I tweeted, heavens to Betsy's, no. And then my husband called me on it this morning. He said, Erin, you did that this week. That's so true. I have my kids keep their own little personal word walls, these spiral notebooks. And I told them, if you don't have your spiral this week, because, resources are critical in schoolwork, right? I mean,
yep.
Come on. If you don't have your spiral notebook, you're going to write your spelling words 10 times each instead of the 5 times each. And then I thought, oh gosh, you're right. I did do that this week.
Well, scrolling back through the chat and looking at it, There was a lot of conversation here too about, is writing a letter of an apology, is that a punishment? Or if somebody if a student turns in something that is not very good, and having them restate it to effectively and clearly communicate an idea, is that not good? And so I think there's all kinds of different rabbit holes to run down with this particular thing. But I think for the most part, if it's something where it's being used as a form of discipline, I think that that maybe is not the best way to handle it. So, Aaron, how can you specifically alter your lessons next school year to teach some of these real life ELA skills?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sheesh, Scott. I actually didn't answer this question because I'm not sure I'm ready to think about it just yet. I feel like I'm still in the midst of all the changes that I had from last year. I think I've got some teacher friends. We are headed to Hot Springs, Arkansas at the end of April to kind of do this. We are looking into what our next year is going to look like and to see if there's anything we are going to change up. I know that there will be, but I just, I'm not ready to think about it yet. I did, however, like what Mrs. Waters English had to say. I want to incorporate more nonfiction texts and independent projects that encompass all OAS skills.
I bet she's got a resource or two for you on her website.
I'm pretty positive she does. And I told her one of my favorite nonfiction books to put out is Ron Clark's The Essential 55. It's a book about how to act, manners, even dinner table manners. And I really like that one. And then I'll have students write what skills that they have used over the week. And she liked that. She had never thought about using a book like that.
I don't need no stinking manners.
Right. You do.
Yeah. So I also liked what Shirlene had to say, and I think she is a student teacher. She's at One Shirlene MT, and she said, as I'll be a teacher for real next year, I want to be purposeful in teaching vocab and the power of scientific writing.
I love how active our pre-service teachers are in this OKLA Ed chat.
Shut the front door, they're amazeballs. Hashtag.
They really are. Shut the front door, they're amazeballs. All one hashtag?
However you want to split it up. You decide. Okay. You decide.
Well, Scott, the next question was, do you show your writing to your classes? Do you write in real time on smart boards, etc.?
So not being an ELA teacher, I didn't do a lot of writing, but I taught math for a long, long, long time. And let me tell you, I wrote a ton of math problems on the board, and I wrote a ton of math problems that I got wrong. I messed up here, I messed up there, I messed up everywhere, and kids found it. So I think part of that is allowing the kids to follow your thought process so they can understand some of those common issues and try and avoid them.
Right. Well, you know, and I do blog. I have shared a couple of blog posts with my class before. I've been pretty selective in this. But this week, a fifth grader came to me and he said, I didn't know you blog. And I thought, oh my goodness, which one did you read? And did you sit and read all of them? Because there have been a few, Scott, that I've put out there that are probably not fifth grade appropriate.
Can't believe it.
I know. Well, I was raised in a family of sailors, and no, anyway, that's no excuse. But it did make me think about all those digital citizenship like conversations we've had with students, and here I am definitely worried about which blog this kiddo may have read, because there have been a few put out there, you know?
You know, maybe you need to use the anonymous features of Tumblr to share some of those more pointed and colorful blogs, Aaron.
You are right, and I will start my account right now. Last week you said it takes 5 minutes, right? So here we go.
At Mrs. Waters English said less than that. I really liked what Drew Robinson had to say. She is at Fat Cat Artist. She's in Tulsa, and she's an ed techie guru. She said, how about collaborating in the Google Doc with students? I think that's brilliant.
I love that. Yeah. Yep. No, that's perfect. I've collaborated in docs with teachers before, but I really only use the notes features for students, you know, making comments and such. I love doing it real time. That is so amazing.
Yeah.
At Funston WM, said it's paramount teachers practice what they preach to create a positive learning environment. And I think that that's great. We do tend to tell our students to do things. We assign things that we ourselves have never really had much to do with. And reading and blogging are two that I did feel kind of a weight on me for the last few years. And so I do read books, novels each year so that I'm not making my students read things that I wouldn't be up for reading. And then blogging. That's these two things have come pretty much because of the practice what you preach thing.
Well, and I think too, with going with that statement, is if we want our kids to take risks as students, we need to model that as a teacher, because we're certainly not going to hit the ball out of the park every time, and we're certainly not going to know everything every time. So I think it's important for us to model that we don't quite always get it, and how we recover from that. I think that's good. So next question, do you think it's important for your students to see you make real world quotes, real world writing mistakes as long as you correct them?
Gosh, I do. I think, you know, there was a time whenever I was sitting in a grocery store and some students came up to me and they were like, "What? What are you doing here?" And it's like, you aren't ever wrong. You don't ever leave your classroom, and we must be these perfect little people that they think we are. I also remember when I first got into teaching, I was a paraprofessional, and I go into the lunchroom with the teachers, and the conversation, I thought, whoa, teachers talk like this? And it blew me away. I think it's very important for our students to think that we're relatable. And if we're making mistakes, however many or few we make, I think that it makes us relatable, and it'll carry itself a long ways if we're making mistakes in front of them.
I think so too. But I do want to toss the caveat that you don't want to make too many mistakes. Otherwise, you come off as looking like you don't know what you're doing. But I do think, for example, working out a calculus problem, there's places to go wrong. So if I can get into my problem before I make a mistake, and then we as a class try and figure it out, I think that's one thing. But if I'm mistake after mistake after mistake, I think that's something else. Does it make sense?
Right. No, that totally makes sense. Yeah, you wouldn't want to teach that way, for sure.
I really, you know, believe it or not, Aaron, you may not know this, but we have people from all over the United States who participate in Oklahoma Ed. Did you know this?
What?
Yeah, I know. So a principal from Wyoming, Brant Nyberg, at Principal Nyberg, participates almost every week. And I loved his answer here. He said, not just real world mistakes, but full speed real world mistakes. They need to realize you can recover from anything. And he's right, because how often do we live in that world where we delicately make a mistake? I mean, come on, we're going full tilt every day, all day. We're gonna make them. Let the kids see how we recover.
Right. No, I really liked that final part. They need to realize that you can recover from anything. Obviously, if you say something insanely hurtful to somebody, it'll be a little bit harder to recover. But we've talked about words have meaning, and, you know, making mistakes and then bringing it back around is definitely something we can practice.
Yeah, I think, you know, a legal mistake as opposed to an illegal mistake.
Sure. And I hope he was thinking the same thing.
Pretty sure he was.
All right. Well, do you have a reward policy or system in place for when a student catches a typo or grammar mistake that you've made?
Okay, so again, relating to the math side of this, I didn't do anything like this, but I taught with a guy in Kansas City who would give a cookie to any student that caught one of his mistakes. And always wanted to be a student in his class, because there were some days I just wanted a cookie.
I love it. So this year, another new thing I've got is this trying to gamify the class. And for me, I've got, again, kids of all ages, and the different age groups make up. I mean, one team isn't a specific age group. The ages vary across each of the teams. But this semester, we started kind of a Harry Potter house system, and I knew you were going to ask, so I went ahead and found it. maybe this was thought about before. But beneficium means kindness in Latin, veritas means truth, passionis means passion, and patientia is patience. And I'm hoping, and I really did not look up how to pronounce those, so that could be wrong on the pronunciation. But those are the names of our houses. We were using Latin because of Latin and Greek root words and such. You know, it was just trying to bring in standards anywhere I could. Anyway, so those are the names of the houses. And it goes a long way when somebody catches a mistake for you to say, all right, 10 points to House Veritas. And like, they go crazy. Versus I used to say, all right, you get an extra point or two on this week's, you know, project or whatever. The house system, the points for the house system seems to go really well.
That's awesome. That's really great. Jennifer Seitzinger, she's at room 20 awesome, which I love that Twitter handle, by the way. She said, for my kiddos, just catching my mistake is reward enough. They love it when I forget a period.
Ah, I love it. Yeah. Well, and you know what? We always think about extrinsic motivation. That is very much that intrinsic motivation. They love it when they catch the teacher on something, and that probably is reward enough.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, Erin, what was your favorite question from the chat last night?
I really liked the question that I couldn't answer about what specifically are ways you'll alter your lessons next year to teach some more real life, and that's in quotations, ELA skills. I this one's going to carry with me for a while, so...
I think
what about you?
You like those questions that really get you reflecting on your practice.
I do. I am a pretty new guy at this teaching thing still. I've only been in it for about 6 years. And yeah, anything. I feel like I'm always changing something next year. You know, always looking for what I'm going to do next year to make it better. And yeah, I maybe I reflect too much and I should lay off, but that one's one that's definitely going to stick with me. What about you?
So I really liked the question four. How are you helping teach those skills to your students while staying inside your subject area? Because yeah. I think it's easy to write off ELA skills, even though I teach math or I teach science or physics or something like that. Am I teaching those every single day like an English teacher would teach them? No, but I can still incorporate some of those basic ideas when I'm teaching my class. And I think that's something that all teachers need to be sort of open about, I think.
No, I think you're right there. I think ELA is probably the one that crosses the most curriculums, do you think?
Quite possibly. I mean,
with all the different standards, the multimodal presentation, speaking, writing, you know, it's not just periods and capitalizing.
Right. So, and listening and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, boom sauce tweet of the night, Scott. What was your boom sauce tweet of the night?
In response to Q6, do you use writing as a punishment, essay, sentences, words, lines, etc.? And again, Trey Kirkpatrick at WDTK33 said, no, moving on. Short, succinct, and when I read it, I started laughing, so there you go.
I really liked at Turner Joshua D, yes, let them know we're all human and that we make mistakes, and I am one of the most human humans out there.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that. So there you go. What's coming up next week?
Next week, we've got the dual chat. We're teaming up with Colorado on Sunday. Well, they're teaming up with us on Sunday, and then we're teaming up with them on Monday. We're going to do it at the same 8 o'clock hour for both nights. Hope that you guys join in for both nights so we can make our OakEd presence just as big in Colorado as it is here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it'll require just maybe set an alarm on your phone or something like that, because I know that when we've participated with Wyoming, we've had great chats with them, but the OklaEd chat is one of the most active chats per capita in the United States, and that's based on data gathered by guys that are doing this stuff. And so this is just another opportunity to make great, great, great connections with other teachers in a different state. We should take full advantage.
All right.
All right, teachers. You know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.